this religious group called Sadducees is going to come to Jesus with the question, what they're trying to do, young people, they're trying to trap Jesus in his words. Jesus is going to use this same question to turn the tables on this group to show them and indirectly us, listen to this, that there is something that continues after the grave, and it is not marriage. So if you have a Bible, Matthew 22, verses 23-33. Matthew 22, 23-33. And this morning, just to be a little bit different here, you guys can remain seated because this is 10 verses here. So just listen to what our text says. Matthew 22, 23-33. And this is what the Word of God says. Beginning at verse 23. That same day, the Sadducees, who said there Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Verse 25. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to the brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother right on down to the seventh. Finally, verse 27. The woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Verse 29. Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Verse 30. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Verse 31. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Let us pray. Even now, Lord, even now, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I titled our message, How Should We Live Then? Or, How Should We Live Then? We are in Matthew 22, and our text begins in verse 23. That same day, the Sadducees. So in order for us to understand our text, we need to understand, number one, what happened on this same day. And number two, we need to understand who are the Sadducees. We are in verse 23, but in verse 22 of our text, let's go back just one verse to verse 22, where it says here, when they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Now, this other they, in verse 22, is another religious group called the Pharisees. Jesus had basically showed them up and shut their mouths, so now it was the Sadducees' turn at that. But who are the Sadducees? Our text tells us they didn't believe in the resurrection. And we know what the resurrection is. Who are the Sadducees? Now, one other thing to know about this religious group is that they only believe that the first five books of the Bible written by Moses were authoritative or completely trust or true for them. Only the first five books. That's all they held to. Since they only held to the first five books, I don't know how they looked at Psalms 23 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know how they got through their life with ignoring Isaiah 40 where he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, because they only held to the first five books of the Bible. And since they only held to the first five books of the Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they apparently took issue or had a problem with the story of Elijah raising the widow of Zarephath's son, because that didn't take place in the first five books of the Bible, since they didn't believe in the resurrection. Given their beliefs, they had apparently had a problem with Daniel, who also spoke about the resurrection. Or of Isaiah, in Isaiah 26:19, where Isaiah says, listen to this, but your dead will live, Lord, their those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Or Hosea 13:14, where the prophet says, I will deliver this people from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? Lastly, these Sadducees would have had a problem with Job, who said those familiar words in Job 19:25-26. Job 19:25-26. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. Then Job says, after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Job says, I myself will see him with my own eyes. I am not another. So Scripture shows us, church, that the Old Testament saints and prophets believed in the resurrection of the dead. But since the Sadducees stopped at the first five books, they missed out on all this truth about the resurrection. They even pastor gave themselves a pass from Malachi 3:10. Well, the man robbed God. So here they are, just holding to the first five books of the Bible. Acts 23:8 tells us, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. So Acts 23 lets us know they didn't believe in spirits or angels either. Yet they were religious. Church, God is spirit. Yet the Sadducees didn't believe in spirits. And this brings me to their name. This group now needs some audience participation. You all know this. You know where we're going. This group were called Sadducees altogether because they were so you see. Thank you. But wouldn't you be sad living a religious life, a holy life, a good life, with no hope or promise of an afterlife? There was a guy named Paul, the apostle, who wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. In other words, the non-religious world is wondering, why aren't those religious folks who only have hope in this life joining us in pleasure and partying since there's no resurrection or nothing after this life? Now that is our intro to the Sadducees, and they are the other characters in our story. The Pharisees felt at that earlier, and the Sadducees now take their turn at that. The Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection, came to Jesus with a question about marriage and the resurrection. Now, so let's enter their story. If you're ready, say I'm ready. Okay, let's go. Pastor recently shared that New Life Church is an expositional church, and that's what we are. I like what John MacArthur says. We're unleashing God's truth one verse at a time. So that's what we're going to do here. So let's look at what the text says. The Sadducees, look at verse 23 of our text in Matthew 22:23. The Sadducees, that same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with the question. But notice this, they didn't begin with the question. Look at verse 24. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now, I'm the kind of person, you know, I'll say trust, but verify. These are Sadducees talking. They said Moses said this. So I want us to go back to see if Moses said this. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 25:5-6. Deuteronomy 25:5-6. So they're name dropping Moses. So let's see what Moses said. Deuteronomy 25:5-6. Listen to what it says. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. Now, it did not matter if your brother and sister-in-law didn't get along with each other before. It didn't matter whether the brother or the sister-in-law were ugly or attractive. It was not so much about attraction as it was duty. Now, I'm sure if either the widow or the brother-in-law were attractive, it made the duty a little bit easier. But attractive or not, this was the law for the Jews. Now, some of you married women have brother-in-laws, right? My sister-in-law is sitting right there, and I have a sister-in-law. And some of you men, you have sister-in-laws, correct? Now, don't misquote me. Nothing against the Jews. I'm just referring to this law of the Jews. Now, I don't want someone claiming I'm pro-Palestine or anti-Israel or vice versa. I'm pro-Jesus Christ. But back to this law. For you Bible students in here, we know this Jewish custom as the Nazarite law, right, Brother Vajahu? This law was a way for the widow to be taken care of after her husband's death. And it was a way to keep the brother's name alive. Pastor Ken, I know he preached a message from the book of Ruth some time ago. And in the Ruth, we see this practice being fulfilled as Boaz married Ruth and was able to take care of Ruth and Naomi. But in our text, the Sadducees came to Jesus and they tee up their question by quoting the Levirate law of Moses in verse 24 concerning a deceased widow with no children. Then they give their story in verses 25 through 27. Look at our text, Matthew 22, 25 through 27. And here's where they start. They said, "Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother." Verse 26. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. 27. Finally, the woman died. Now, church, all seven of these brothers eventually married the same woman. All seven eventually died before the woman. Let's just assume that the story the Sadducees are telling Jesus is true. Now, had I been the third brother, some flags would have started going up in my mind. Most certainly had I been the seventh brother, because every brother who came before me who married this woman died. Now, it is very suspect that these seven brothers died, because, church, I'm thinking in my mind, did they have a pre-existing condition that was only exacerbated by marriage? Did this wife put too much salt or sugar in the food that all seven of these brothers died before this woman? And I'm also thinking here, where were these seven brothers' mother? Why didn't she call for a forensic investigation to see why all seven of her sons died after marrying this woman? But that's what we have here. Just some questions that come to my mind, considering and it's suspect that all seven brothers died. Or were these brothers like Onan back in Genesis? Some of you may know the story of Onan. Some of you may not know the story of Onan. But remember, Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Jacob had 12 sons, which make up the 12 patriarchs of Israel. And by order, they are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Dan, Joseph, and Benjamin. The fourth child, his name was Judah. Judah left his brothers one day and went to visit one of his friends. I want us to see what happened in that exchange. Turn with me real quick to Genesis chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38. Listen at this. We're looking at the Levirate law, and this is what these men came and brought to Jesus, these Sadducees. But in Genesis chapter 38, listen to what it says. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hiram. Verse 2. There Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and made love to her. So at least Judah got the order right. He married her and then made love to her. Verse 3. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Ur. Remember Ur. Verse 4. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. Remember Onan. Verse 5. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. That was the youngest. It was at Kizeb that she gave birth to him. Verse 6. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. Some of you may remember another Tamar that was later on with David, who had a daughter named Tamar. But this is a different Tamar. Look at verse 7. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Verse 8. Then Judah said to Onan, "Sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother." Verse 9. Look at this. But Onan knew that the child would not be his. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. So this young man was doing his own
did was wicked in the Lord's sight. So the Lord put him to death also. Church, that means one more son. Look at verse 10. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, Tamar, live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up. Because Shelah was young. For he thought, Judah thought, he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's household. So time goes by. So listen at this. Verse 12. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. The man got lonely. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira the Adullamite went with him. You guys can finish reading the story later, but just to fast forward, his daughter Tamar went by the road because she heard that her father-in-law was going to go to his shears. Tamar put on some prostitute clothing, and what happened, Judah, being lonely, went and he petitioned and slept with his daughter-in-law Tamar. They had two children, Zerah and Perez. But my point is, Onan was killed for not fulfilling the levirate law for his brother Onan. But back in our text, whether these seven brothers suffered the same fate of Onan is not said. But all seven brothers, church, were willing to fulfill their duty to their deceased brother to at least marry the brother's widow. Now, to me, either one thing is true or the other. Either this widow was drop-dead gorgeous, or these brothers were very religious. It doesn't say that either, but they were all willing to fulfill their levirate duty to their brother-in-law. But back to our text. After laying out this story to Jesus about these seven brothers, the Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection, then asked Jesus in verse 28. Listen at this. Now then, at the resurrection, Matthew 22:28, now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? The question that naturally comes up is, if there's no resurrection, Sadducees, why ask Jesus questions or show concern about what happens in the resurrection? And the answer is, the Sadducees really didn't care what happened in the resurrection because they don't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus knew they didn't care about the resurrection. But the Sadducees didn't know that Jesus knew they didn't care or believe in the resurrection. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come to Jesus with this question. Commentator Albert Barnes states that these Sadducees assume that the way things are done on earth is how they will be done in the resurrection. So they were basically reversing the order, saying in heaven or in the resurrection as it is on earth before the resurrection. That's the Sadducees' story, and that's their question. Now let's hear from the teacher, Jesus, and his teaching points. Jesus replies to them in verse 29. Listen to what it says. Jesus replied, "You are an error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Jesus says, paraphrase, "Y'all are just ignorant." Or if I could borrow from Grandpa Ron's situation, he says, "Y'all are ignorant." Jesus says, "Y'all don't know the scriptures or the power of God." Then Jesus tells them in verse 38, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. This brings us to our first of Jesus' teaching points. Point number one, if you are taking notes on your outline, we love differently in the resurrection. We love differently in the resurrection. Again, we love differently in the resurrection. We learn from our Lord says, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. Verse 33. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. Amen, brothers? We have honeydew lists. Verse 34. And his interests are divided. Pastor, I can't come there. Why is that? Because my wife. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy both in body and spirit. Listen to this. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Amen, women? I can't do it because my husband wants me to do this. Then Paul says in verse 35, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. The Lord wants undivided, total commitment in the resurrection. And as we just read, marriage, according to Paul, does not lend itself to that. Now, let me add two qualifiers here, okay? Single folks, marriage is good. That's a good thing. God created marriage. Number two, Paul goes on to say in that same passage, if you can't live single, that is holy, without sex or anything like that, then get married. Because he says it's better to marry than to burn with lust. So we're just pointing out that the purpose of marriage and why in the resurrection marriage is not needed. We will be focused on relating to one another, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the resurrection. That being said, there's no need for marriage or for more babies. Now, we love differently in the resurrection because there's no more marriage. And since we are free from sin, this is point A if you're taking notes, we love perfectly in the resurrection. We love perfectly in the resurrection. Because listen, everything we do now as believers, even the good, is touched or tainted in some way because we are sinful. Now, someone may say, I'm not sinful. My question is, do you sin ever? Then you have the propensity to be sinful. And point B, if you're taking notes, we love with complete knowledge in the resurrection. We love with complete knowledge in the resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:12 that I know in part, but then in the resurrection, he says, I shall know even as I am known. In other words, if you're a child of God, and if you don't know me by now, then don't worry. Because in the resurrection, you will know me fully. Pastor was just sharing some of that with us this morning, where our life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, appear, then we will appear. And many of our misunderstandings, church, come from not having full knowledge of one another. And that is where communication comes in. In the resurrection, what is misunderstood now, listen to this, will result in honor to God if it was done by faith. Now, those of us who are children of God, we will know one another even as we are known. In the resurrection, our love won't be back and forth. It won't be up and down. We won't have those crazy cycles. Now, there are some parts of us that if people knew our attitudes, our feelings toward them, and etc., they wouldn't love us the same way. Because if we could download our thoughts this past year, and have Brother Taylor project them up on the overhead projector here. Some of us would not talk to each other anyway. But guess what? Jesus knows us fully. He knows our warts. He knows our thoughts. Yet he loves us anyway. We love differently than the resurrection. We love perfectly in the resurrection. And we love with complete knowledge in the resurrection. There's nothing hidden. Then in the second part of that verse, Jesus says in verse 30, the B part of that verse, he says, they will be like the angels in heaven. And this brings us to our second point. We live differently in the resurrection. We live differently in the resurrection. My wife is walking. I didn't miss anything. I want to make sure I didn't miss any notes. Our text says, we are like the angels in the resurrection. Now, let me clarify, we are like the holy angels in the resurrection, not the fallen angels. Some days, I look more like a fallen angel. That's my wife, and I'm sure some of you have those days, too. But we are like the holy angels in the resurrection. It does not mean we are angels in the resurrection, nor are we angels when we leave this earth. In the resurrection, we have bodies. The angels are spirits and do not have bodies. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, therefore, angels are only servants, says this. Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage." That's Luke 20, 34 to 36. He says, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage." Verse 36. "And they can no longer die." Why is that? "For they are like the angels. They are God's children since they are children of the resurrection." So in Luke's account, we learn that we are like angels in two ways. Number one, angels don't marry. So there we have a single focus on God. And number two, angels don't die. So there was a continuous focus on God. Our text may not address this directly, but I might add by further implication that point C, we live sinless in the resurrection. If you're taking notes, we live sinless in the resurrection. And since we don't have any falling out with each other, point D, and I'm looking at the outline here, it may be going A, B, C, but make that A a C there under point two so that you guys are not confused. Under two, that should be a C, D, E, okay? So we live sinless in the resurrection. And since we don't have any falling out with each other, point D, we have unbroken fellowship in the resurrection. So starting at the bottom there, we have unbroken fellowship in the resurrection. We live sinless in the resurrection. Okay? Lastly, the holy angels cry continuously, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The angels' worship is unbroken now. And likewise, the last point there, if I confuse you, is we have unbroken worship in the resurrection. We have unbroken worship in the resurrection. So we will live different in the resurrection. All of our activities, our thoughts will be directed to the throne where God the Father and the Lamb are seated. No interruptions from political chaos because Jesus will be king. No interruptions by a bad health report because our bodies will be perfect. No interruptions by a bad grade in school, kids, because our knowledge will be complete. No interruptions by a special report for breaking news because all of the news will be about the one who sits on the throne and the Lamb. We will live differently in the resurrection. So if we go back, the Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection, had a question about marriage. Jesus answers their marriage question, church. And then in verse 31, it is as if Jesus kind of had an afterthought. You know, he was done and then he said, "Oh, by the way, I know this wasn't y'all's question, but about the resurrection of the dead." Now, at this point, the Sadducees had to be thinking, who among us squealed? And the answer is no one. Jesus just knew their thoughts. Jesus said, "Sadducees, while y'all were reading Moses," and I would add, by the way, Moses was talking to a spirit at that burning bush because God was talking through that burning bush. These Sadducees don't believe in the spirits. But yet, here they are quoting Moses. Jesus asks, "By the way, did you not read what it says?" And then he says here in verse 32, let's look at what it says. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Jesus quoting this verse, church, from God speaking to Moses at the burning bush, suggested that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had been dead hundreds of years, were still alive. And they were. This brings us to our last point. We oh, they're dead to me. One writer stated this figure of speech means the person no longer wants a relationship with the person or people they are referring to. It indicates a complete emotional disconnect and a refusal to acknowledge the other person's existence or presence in their life. Anybody have any people who are dead to them? You need to reconcile to them. But I'm just pointing out the fact that we have people in our life and people who will say that that's what that means. But anyway, that is the Sadducees. But is God dead to you? Someone may say, well, Brother Rodney, of course not. I pray. I attend church. Now, that is nice. But what about how we treat each other? Are we acknowledging God's presence and existence in our life and how we love one another? Brothers, sisters, children, neighbors, and married couples. Because listen, marriage does not exist in the resurrection, but married couples still exist here. So we should keep on loving. We should acknowledge God's presence in our Christian marriages, and not only that, but in all of our relationships. How then shall we live in light of our future resurrection? Jesus, quoting Exodus, says, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So we should live like those who are alive to God, just as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still alive to God. We should live as those who belong to God, just as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still belong to God. And we should live as those who one day in the resurrection, if the Lord tarries, will see and stand face to face before God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, the life that we have in you is eternal, and it continues even after death. We have seen your plans in our text for the physical resurrection, where we will be perfected, but that is the resurrection. That eternal life we now have presently, may it not be overshadowed, Lord, by the sin that still resides in us. Show us our ways so that we can deal with those things that interfere with or prevent the resurrection life of Christ from showing up in our life. We have been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Help us, Lord, to stay crucified.